3 down, 1 to go. The final hour of this Tuesday morning offering. Jeff Nowak can join us in a second. WWL Saints sideline reporter. Then we'll talk to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast about boredom. Is it sometimes a good thing for kids? Research indicating sometimes things like taking them on errands with you or just letting them coming up with their own ways of entertaining themselves can make kids happier. With that being said, we welcome in Jeff Nowak now, Saints sideline reporter. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I got coffee in me. It's a new week. Falcons hate week officially, so that's always a good time.
Absolutely. Great job as always, Sunday. Listen, you, Deuce, and Haas on the broadcast. Tell me your takeaways from the Eagles game.
Well, one of my takeaways is that I'm starting to truly believe that Deuce McAllister can see the future.
Yep.
For the second consecutive week, he was like, hey, I want a big play, and he got a big play. Hey, I want a turnover, he got a turnover. Like, immediately, it's like they're listening to him. I don't know. But, no,
it
that
is
was a
freaky.
Frustrating game.
I'm tell you what, it is freaky. I know Robert Carroll called him something else. I called him Deustradamus.
I think Robert was on the same page. He said, I think it was like Nostalamus or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and he's like, yeah, you could see it coming. I was like, I didn't see it coming. Only you, anyway. Yeah, it's the whole thing. But, man, that was a frustrating game.
While we're talking about it, let me just look at something I texted somebody here. Because he not only called the offensive play, but he described what the defense was going to do as well right after that. So he was something, man. I'm telling you. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, that's a frustrating game. I was on with Newell yesterday. I think the way I described it was like, hey, you look at that game, and the Saints did every ancillary thing you can do to win a game other than score points on offense, mm-hmm. right? Like you forced turnovers. You got to stop. You got multiple turnovers on downs. You got an interception in the red zone. You blocked the punt, right? Like it was just so frustrating because you felt like if they could sustain one drive throughout the course of that game, other than that touchdown drive when they were finally behind, you would have taken control of that game. It felt like whichever team got a 2-score lead in that game was going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints were just never able to do it. And, you know, you can quibble with the decision to go for it on 4th and 1. I think it was the right decision. I questioned the play calling more so than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to see them get, like, my big thing is, hey, I don't mind you going for it on 4th down, but if you know you're going for it on 4th down, I would have loved to see them get aggressive, maybe run play action, take a shot at the end zone on 3rd and 1, because you know how they're going to play you. They're going to line up in that 6-1, you know, bare front that they've been showing the whole game. You're not going to be able to run it. And instead, they chose to run what I imagine is in the playbook, in the game plan, as a Taysom Hill play, which is a direct snap to Alvin Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would have been a direct snap to Taysom Hill with Derek Carr sprinting out to the right. Instead, you put Alvin Kamara in there, and for obvious reasons, there's less that the defense has to worry about. So, you know, I do question some of the play calling. I don't know if it was Clint Kubiak's best day. You know, it was bound to happen as kind of teams got to look at what he wanted to do on offense. And I think Vic Fangio had a great counter for the kind of heavy formations that the Saints have been rolling out. I thought Zach Bond had a great day at the line of scrimmage. You were able to take advantage of him down the field. I thought the interior offensive line really struggled, particularly after Eric McCoy went out, obviously. Cesar Ruiz, I mean, Jalen Carter was a beast in that game. And you knew that that's what he's supposed to be. I don't know if he's necessarily shown it all the time, but that's the guy that the Eagles definitely thought they were getting coming out of Georgia. And Cesar Ruiz got a load of him. Derek Carr just had no time. So it was a frustrating game. You hope that Eric doesn't miss too much time if he can't get out there this week. But hopefully they can bounce back from that. Because, you know, a 2-1 start, when you're looking at the beginning of the season, you say 2-1. I feel like everyone would have jumped on board with that. Right now,
sure,
you didn't want it to happen the way it did. But, you know, you're in a good spot. You got to go win a game in Atlanta. And we'll see what they can do.
Tell me about the Saints. To me, just didn't look, in the first 2 weeks, they looked focused and prepared. And I know that's always a function of who you match up against and you think you know, but until you line up against the guy across from you, you really don't. But they didn't seem to be as focused and prepared. And I know the injuries had a lot to do with that and throwing that, and McCoy's injury especially, and throwing that off. But did they look as focused and prepared to you as they did the first 2 weeks?
It's tough for me to grade focus. Like, I don't know what's going on in these guys' heads to the point, like, okay, were you prepared? But there was definitely sloppiness. Like, you could watch that game and see, like, yeah, there was some sloppy decision-making. You look at the two timeouts the Saints had to call in the second half. One was because two guys went in motion at the same time, mm-hmm. and you can't do that. You know, the officials honestly probably could have flagged that. Instead, they let the Saints get the timeout, which, you know, that's not really how it's supposed to work. If it's a legal procedure, it's a legal procedure. You're not supposed to treat it like a delayed game, but whatever. You know, they burned a timeout there, and that's just, you know, guys not doing their jobs correctly. The second timeout, they just didn't line up correctly, right? And so, I don't know, you could maybe part of that is, Eric, you know, the communication that you would typically have. Maybe part of that is guys playing out, you know, guys that you typically wouldn't have on the field or in different positions with Lucas Patrick at center. Ole Udo was playing left guard. Cesar Ruiz was banged up at one point. Nick Saldivari got in. Then you bumped Ole Udo over to right guard. But I think that really was only for one play. So I don't know. You're going to look at that and you're going to try to figure it out. Trevor Penning had a kind of bonehead penalty where he decided to block Darius Slay basically into the Saints bench. And it didn't cost you because you scored a touchdown on that drive anyway. But no, there was definitely a level of, it just seemed frazzled at points. Like, it felt like guys were getting a little, you know, like the Eagles were winning that game up front. They were whipping the Saints offensive line up front. And I think maybe to an extent, nothing the Saints are trying to do is working. And that becomes frustrating. You get a little frazzled and you make mistakes. So I think it was more about that. I think this is kind of a situation where, hey, things went so easily in the first 2 weeks that you didn't necessarily get tested in stressful scenarios the way that you probably would have hoped over the first 2 weeks of the season. I thought they wore down in the second half of that game from a fatigue standpoint, you know, in ways that you probably, you know, if you don't blow out your first two opponents and you're playing into the fourth quarter, like, look at the defensive line in the fourth quarter. It didn't seem like they had that burst. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think part of that is these guys are playing into the fourth quarter for the first time all year. It's crazy that it took until week three for that to happen. But, you know, you build that up by playing, and they just haven't had that type of intense game to kind of get meddled in. So I'm hopeful that that's it. I don't think it was a, you know, focus thing. I think they prepared as well as they have. But yeah, you definitely got to be better than that.
And there could be a lot of reasons for it, but I'm just thinking of guards pulling in each other. And I think at one point Derek Carr turned the wrong way. And then you had the three Saints defenders colliding on that long tight end play. I wouldn't imagine that happening in the first two games. You wouldn't see that happening. You know what I mean?
No, I'm sure it definitely was a much more, heated film review than you might have had in the first 2 weeks, where the first 2 weeks you're kind of looking for any mistakes to point out just so you have notes on what people need to work on. It's not very difficult to find in this game. And you're right, a lot of it was not necessarily the Saints getting beat. It was the Saints making mistakes. And that's frustrating.
Tell me about Atlanta.
Atlanta. Ooh, well, that's, I still can't get a gauge on Atlanta. It's tough. I feel like Kirk Cousins can't move to save his life. Mm-hmm. And that's a situation that the Saints should be able to take advantage of. Now, Bijan Robinson, if I had to pick a kind of Saquon Barkley 2.0, it'd be Bijan Robinson. They're very similar players. So the Saints are going to have, you know, they had a hard time stopping him in week 10, week 12, whatever week they're up in Atlanta last year. I mean, he had a day against them. They did better in week 18. So maybe they kind of have figured out a book on him a little bit. But, no, he's going to cause some of the same problems in the sense that you can bottle him up all day. You give him one crease and he can just go.
Yep.
And so you're going to have to be careful. What the difference in this matchup is going to be, so much of the danger of Saquon Barkley is you have to also play Jalen Hurts at the same time, in this, at least in that Eagles offense. That's not really the case with Kirk, in the sense of you don't have to spy Kirk. He's not going anywhere. You know, he's going to be exactly where you think he's going to be the whole game. So, no, I think the Saints have a good chance. The Saints defense should feel good about that matchup and what they're able to do. You've got to cover on the outside. You've got to take Kyle Pitts away and see what happens. On defense, that's where I get concerned on offense for the Saints is where I get concerned. If you don't have Eric McCoy, can you come up with a better game plan this week to play without him than you had against the Eagles? That pass rush is really solid. We haven't seen Matt Judon yet in a game against the Saints. So, you know, they're going to have to scout him out, figure out what he likes to do. They I don't think they had to go. I think he was out when they played the Patriots last year, if I recall correctly. So they really haven't had much of a chance to go against him. But either way, you know, it's a game that you look at similarly to that Bucs game last year, where you started 2-0, you went up to Green Bay, a game you definitely should have won, and you came back and laid an egg against Tampa in a divisional game that really kind of set the tone for how that season was going to go. And this year it's kind of the same. You lose a tough game to the Eagles. You probably should have won based on how it went. And then you're going to go to Atlanta for a division game. You really need to win. 3-1 and 2-2 feel light years apart in terms of how you started the season,
especially
knowing that you have Kansas City on deck.
Yeah, and having two division wins. If you beat Atlanta on Sunday, and then you have already beaten Carolina. What about Taysom Hill? We know anything about him?
Taysom Hill, I believe the report is that he's dealing with kind of a lung issue, a bruised lung of some kind. And that makes sense, like when you send a guy out of a game. Yeah. You know, like we saw Drew deal with kind of a collapsed lung against the 49ers a few years ago. That can happen. And it's dangerous. You know, it's something you got to take care of. It doesn't sound like it's that significant, but it's just something that you got to deal with. I think he was reasonably close to going. They downgraded him to doubtful on Saturday. DA said that. After the game, he's hopeful to have him back next week. I think he said that yesterday as well. So we'll have to see how it goes. He was a limited participant in Thursday and Friday's practice last week. He missed Wednesday. So if he's able to go full, this week at any point, you feel good about it. Because I think they missed him a lot, particularly you're talking about short yardage scenarios. In a game where you don't have your offensive lineman, he's just a guy that's your starting center, and then you have guys playing out of position. He's a guy that can go get a hard yard on his own, right? And I think you really miss that at certain points, because apparently Jamal Williams isn't a guy they wanted to turn to in that scenario either, which is strange to me. But, Taysom should be on his way back. It's tough to know exactly where he's at just because it's kind of I think a lot of it is a pain tolerance thing when you're dealing with a bruise kind of situation of that kind, like a deep bruise. But I'm hopeful he's back, and I think they need him. He has also been a Falcons killer throughout his career, so he's a guy you definitely want in that matchup.
What was so frustrating about the Eagles game is that they only gave up 15 points, and they contained them until they didn't, right?
Yeah, well, part of that is that, you know, they let up a ton of yards in that game. I think it's kind of crazy to think they didn't allow a point through the first three quarters, but Braden Mann only punted once. The Saints defense only forced one punt in that game, so while they were effective in keeping the Eagles out of the end zone, the whole bend but don't break thing, they allowed a lot of yards. They did not get off the field. And so when you're talking about, hey, you left your defense on the field way too long, that's at least partly in their responsibility of, hey, on third down, you got to get off the field. Alante Taylor, I know, missed at least one tackle on third down. There was a few instances where you got him in third and medium, third and long. You really got to get off the field, and you're unable to. So, you know, it's a weird game to look at. If Nick Sirianni takes the easy field goals and they're up 9-3 at one point in that game, probably instead they're down 3-0. If he doesn't attempt a 60 yarder, there was a point in that game where it felt like Nick Sirianni was trying to win the Saints the game, genuinely. And it could, because that missed 60 yarders is what set up the Saints touchdown. Their only touchdown of the game. They started at midfield because Nick decided, I'm going to try a 60-yard field goal right now to go up 7, which is crazy. Yeah. And the Saints took advantage and scored a touchdown. So it's a weird game to look at because I don't know. Like, I think the defense would probably look at that and say, we need to be better in terms of getting off the field. But you did make plays in the red zone when you needed to. You got stops on fourth down. So, it's a frustrating game. I think it would have been equally frustrating for the Eagles if they lost because they would have felt like, hey, we dominated this game on offense.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it as always. All right, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Of course, he got the new podcast that has dropped, I believe. Right, Jeff? Bring you back real quick. He's gone. But Inside the Black and Gold podcast, I believe, has dropped. And today on Sports Talk, you can join Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller, Green Wave head coach John Summerall will be around 4:20. He'll talk with Mark Schlereth, NFL insider. And then the Saints Hour tonight with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, along with executive VP GM Mickey Loomis on WWL and the Odyssey app. We'll take a break, come back, talk with Dr. Judy Ho about kids and boredom when we return on WWL.